Love the brass section. Love the horns. Man, that sounds good. Can we go to Arno's for dinner and have dinner in the jazz room?
Absolutely.
My favorite restaurant in all of New Orleans. The jazz room at Arno's. Man, I could... I always eat too much.
I was going to say, we have to walk about 20 miles first.
I don't want to get up from the table. The music is so good there. All right, we've got a couple situations to take care of. I want to get back to our article here real quick about closing in the kitchens. It's the article that you would have gotten in your email if you were a subscriber to Rosie on the House newsletter, which comes out every single Thursday. You'll find it in your email box, usually about noon on Thursday. And we're asking our listeners and our regular fans on Facebook and our subscribers to the newsletter, what do you think about this idea that on the East Coast, many people are closing their kitchens back up? We built them small in the 50s and 60s. We blew them up in the 70s and the 80s.
Opened them up. Blew them up. I mean... If you're already in the house, you can open them up.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But blow them
up. You like that better than blow them up?
I do.
It's kind of a blowing up process.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, between Facebook and texting, it's unanimous. They want them open.
Nobody in Arizona is going to close up their kitchen, huh?
Not here in the West is the latest one.
Not here in the West. So you don't get your kitchen design trends from New York City, and you don't get your salsa from New York City, right?
This is true.
New York City. Well, I'll bet you in my, 38 years of remodeling, I've never, ever been asked to close a kitchen up. And I'll bet you I've opened up, it's got to be 1,000 kitchens. It close to that.
Well, it'd keep you busy if people wanted them closed, but I think you're out of luck.
If all those people wanted them closed back up, I'd be busy to the grave. I'd be busy for the next 40 years.
You have to stick with sunken living rooms, I think.
Yeah, we are filling in a lot of sunken living rooms. So the kitchen situation, one of the demographics that are driving this, as I mentioned to Jennifer earlier, are the empty nesters that want to go back to a little bit more formal entertaining, where the cooking and the prep is in one room and the actual service and enjoyment of the meal is in a separate room, a completely separate dining room. A lot of that has to do with just isolating the cooking and prep mess from the beauty of the proper service of the serving of the food. And quite frankly, there are designers we talk to on the East Coast that are saying families are going back to it for exactly the same purpose, with working moms and dads, so that the first thing when they walk back in the house that they don't see are dishes stacked up on the counter and in the sink, that they walk into an area where the kitchen is isolated from the visual of walking in the room, and they like all of that mess of the kids having come home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon after school, cooking their cookies and fixing their bologna sandwiches and cooking their cheese crisps. Do they cook cheese crisps on the East Coast?
They probably call them something else. I don't know.
They don't call them quesadillas. But the parents are saying, we like walking back into the house without having to have that stare us right in the face. Okay. But according to all the feedback you're getting, it's unanimous. It isn't going to happen in the West.
Right.
Okay.
I guess the only reason I would like it is if it encouraged families to sit down more. You know, just because it's easy if you're there and you're all sitting there on the counter eating.
Yeah, that's not eating. That's grazing,
it
right?
Is. Well, no, it's usually kind of like pounding down. And then everybody's still eating, and mom hops up and starts doing dishes, and, you know, it's never really this time set aside just to download, you know, with your family.
But. Hey, we took a call from a Frank in Flagstaff, listening to us on CAF Radio, who's remodeling his bathroom. And he's got a home that was built in the 50s, and it's a cast iron tub. And he wants to know what my ideas or recommendations are for remodeling that bathroom, in that the fact that also he's got a window above that bathtub. So he's thinking like these fiberglass insert systems aren't a good option. Well, I'll tell you what else isn't a good option, Frank, is demoing that cast iron tub. Let me explain to you how we do that. First, we get the youngest, most naive intern, trainee, apprentice, and we dress him up in big, heavy boots, long pants, like brand new Levi's, a little rigid, maybe even some chaps, a good heavy shirt, gloves, ear protection, and not just protective eyeglasses, but protective eye goggles. And the only way, or the best way, that we have found to remove a cast iron tub is go into the bathroom dressed and equipped, as I've mentioned, and take a 13-pound sledgehammer and start pounding on the edge of the cast iron tub farthest from the wall, right in the middle of the tub. And as you do that, the porcelain that is molded and fused to the cast iron tub itself will start flying out off like glass shard bullets. And they will stick into your pants, and they are extremely dangerous. We've actually seen them stick into the cabinet like a thrown knife.
Could you cover it like with one of those big painting cloths?
That might be smart. That could be really smart. That could be a really smart addition to my technique. And you just keep pounding on that until the tub literally, and it will, crack in half. And then you get a pry bar, and you lift it in the middle, and it comes out from underneath all of that. So it is, and then it weighs a ton. Even cracked in half, they're heavy. And it's a fairly extensive project. Something you might really seriously consider is call Rebath and let them come put a lifetime warranty liner over the top of that tub. And then the panels they put on the back can certainly accommodate. They're made custom to fit any window arrangement you have. For you, Frank, I wouldn't even consider tearing that out until I had someone from Rebath up to take a look at it. You'd call the Rebath number, 928-772-8829. Have them come over and take a look at it and see if you haven't been in one of the Rebath showrooms to see what their new product looks like. It's come out about a decade ago. I mean, it's not just these fiberglass panels that fit over everything. They've got some really classy looking stuff, and they can do the bathroom remodel without having to go through that horrible destruction period. So it's a lot cleaner. It's a lot quicker.
Sounds safer.
And it is for the contractor. and it's lifetime warranty. So I would start there and take a look at that. And then we got Joanne.
Yeah, Miss Joanne called from Tucson. She has a home that was built in 1971. And she said she just needs help trying to clean the outside of her windows. She just can't seem to get them clean. And I asked her what kind they were, and she said nothing special. So I am assuming like a single pane window. The buildup
calcium
is probably
buildup.
From calcium from the being hit by the sprinklers and things like that. Yeah. Any ideas?
Well, it's going to be hard. One option would be just replace the glass. Okay, I don't know what kind of window frame she has. In the 70s, it's probably an aluminum frame. Had it been a 60s, I'd say it was a steel frame. But you may just replace the glass would solve the problem. If you want to try and you got nothing to lose because the calcium buildup on the windows apparently is so bad you can't see out the windows very well anyway, here's what you do. You go to the hardware store and you buy a package of single edge razor blades. They usually come in a little cardboard box, about 5 blades to a package. Just buy one package. When you open the package and you spill the single-edge razor blades out on the countertop, Joanne, you'll see that there's usually writing on one side of the razor blade and not on the other. So what you'll pay attention to that. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to take a spray bottle, and you're going to put Dawn soap, and water, and you're going to spray the glass with that soapy water, okay? And then you're going to take that razor blade with your thumb on the writing, and you're going to start scraping the calcium buildup off, okay? Now, the hazard, Joanne, is taking a break and laying the razor blade down, picking it back up, and putting your thumb on the side without the writing. Because as you're scraping that razor blade across that glass, it's actually curling the edge of the razor blade back up away from the surface. And so if when you put the blade down and pick it back up, you start scraping the glass with the wrong side of the razor blade, you're actually going to be scratching the glass. So you have to pay attention and put the same side surface of the single-edged razor blade against the glass every single time. The other thing you might do is for a week or two, go out there and apply layers of CLR or straight vinegar onto that, and it will start eating away at that calcium buildup.
In CLR, you need rubber gloves.
You do need rubber gloves, and you'll put it on there, leave it on there for a while, and then rinse it off and do it again the next day and again the next day and again the next day. Pretty soon, you're going to be eating away at that layer by layer. And sometimes at that point, then this Dawn soap single edge razor blade trick is just a little bit easier. But I have taken windows that have had calcium buildup on it for a decade and saved them by that single edge razor blade and the spray Dawn soap trick. But don't lose track of which side of the razor blade you're using. That is very, very important. You got nothing to lose. It doesn't work out, and you end up ravaging your glass. You're in no worse situation than you were. And then at that point, I think then you take you get an estimate for just replace the glass. And if you want, Joanne, do like a bunch of other people are doing and take advantage of the phone and the camera in your phone. Take a picture of it and send it to us at rosieonthehouse.com.
Info at rosieonthehouse. Yep.
We actually have a new service that we kind of launched a couple weeks ago called Rapid Remodeling DIY Helper Services. And it's ideal for the smaller, quicker projects that you've got going around your house, whether you want to try and tackle it yourself or you want to estimate from us to come out and take care of it. Send us pictures with a description of what you want to do. We'll call you and say, well, could you measure this and measure that so we can get an idea? We'll get some additional information from you. And then without us ever having to come out to your house, we can submit an estimate for you for the repair or the remodeling project, or give you actual help on how to pull it off yourself. I don't know where else in the country that's being done, but it's being done for you, the Arizona homeowners, at Rosie on the House Remodeling.